Amen. Speaking about commitment, a word that's almost foreign to the church of today. It's almost like a bad word to be a committed Christian. Committed to the church, committed to the Lord, committed to a ministry you're in charge of. Commitment. How many were committed when you were in the world? How many were just committed on Sunday in the world? Or on Friday, should I say, amen? No, if you were a little bit like me, you were committed every day out there. Every day, being lost and bound. Committed to being lost and bound. The title of this morning's message, we got to move quickly, is The Committed Prepare Themselves. Again, I had some good revelation from the Lord earlier this week, and I said, man, I got Sunday's message. I was so happy because I knew the Lord had spoken to me, and I was putting it together on Saturday. It took a turn for the good. The book of Mark, chapter 13, verses 34 to 37. The book of Mark, chapter 13. I need everybody paying close attention. It's going to decide whether you make it or you don't make it. How many can agree that times are getting more evil and more evil? It's recorded in the Bible. Times are going to get more evil and more wicked. It's happening right now. The Bible is coming to pass. In other words, times are getting darker and darker and darker. And God is counting on you and I to be that light, not just in a darkened time, but in a very dark time that we live in right now. I want to give a word right now. If you think you're going through stuff right now, you haven't seen nothing yet. If you think you're stuck and you're going through an ordeal right now that you don't know if you're going to make it or not, or you don't know if you want to quit or go to some other church that leaves you alone and makes you feel good. There's a lot of churches you can go to. You don't have to be here this morning. But if you've been saved by grace, if God has done something that man was not capable of doing, money was capable of doing, or what the opposite sex was capable of doing, I want to let you know right here and right now that if you ain't making it right now, you ain't making it next year. Times are getting worse and worse. The good news is that no matter how hard or what you're going through may be, there's still some good times taking place in your life. You're able still to experience having a good time. Amen? Yes. You better take full advantage of that, because there's coming a time where it's just going to be hard times every day. You better prepare yourself right now while you're still seeing good times here and there. Because there's coming a time where you ain't going to get a glimpse of a good time. And it's right around the corner. Thus says the Lord. Oh, Pastor, you just don't understand what I'm going through. Cállate! That means be quiet. Times are going to get worse and worse and worse. That's what the Bible says. And we're living in end times. They're getting worse and worse. They're not getting better and better. I want you to look at them flowers. They're there for a reason. It's mum flowers. These are the flowers, if you're just a flower fanatic and you want cheap flowers that last longest into the winter, this is what the store will sell you. I did a drive-by in Menards this morning because the Lord gave me a thought, and I ran off of it. And there was about 50 of these on the table. There's not one other flower in all of Menards. There was just mums left. And all of them were all shriveled up. But in the corner, I found this one, and I was in my suit, and I got it. You can find me in a dirty pair of blue jeans and a dirty shirt every day of the week in Menards, buying material. I had to wait for my wife to walk in so I can say this now. Don't get jealous, okay, love? Daddy, you got it like that. So I felt so weird walking into Menards looking like this, amen? And people know me there. They all know me there. So I'm walking in, I'm like, oh, man, this don't fit. So I'm walking in, and the black sister's walking out in front of everybody. She goes, "Woo, you're looking awful good." She goes, "I'd give $1 million for you." And you know me, I'm always quick with the response. I was like, okay, and I just kept walking. I told you guys I was worth $1 million. I got $1 million of Jesus in me. But she said it in a good way. Because if she was trying to really pick up on me, I still wouldn't have took $1 million. But she would just say, "Ooh, wee, you look awful good," like a black sister would talk. Amen? Amen. She goes, "I'd give $1 million for you right now." I'll go, okay, and I just kept walking. But I felt it walking. I said, man, I'm not dressed for the occasion. I was just going to go get some mums, but I've never been to Menards with a suit on. And when I go with the guys, "Hey, pastor, pastor," they call me pastor. And I said, "Don't call me pastor in here. I got dirty clothes on. I'm not looking scruffy." But they got to see the pastor today. All the checkers were there. That's the pastor right there. I even had guys looking at me saying, you know you're really looking good when the guys are giving you a thumbs up, amen? I had to say the color because we're black, brown, and white up in here, amen? And one black brother was looking at me like, I said, "God bless you, bro." And I went, "God," because I'm from the hood, man. So I'm walking real proper, and "God bless you, bro." And I said, "Oh, my God, everybody's there." Because he had a nice shirt and nice slacks on. He was on his way to church. We saw each other. The Bible reads, "The coming of the Son of Man can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip." How many know that Jesus is coming back? The title of the message is "The Committed Prepare Themselves." Because we believe Jesus is coming back for the church, which is you and I. So we're going to get a little breakdown of the coming of the Son of Man. Amen? It says, when he left home, he gave each of his slaves instructions about the work they were to do. Tell your neighbor, the work you're to do. Make it personal. And he told the gatekeeper to watch for his return. And he goes on to say, you too must keep watch. For you don't know when the master of the household, how many know that King Jesus is the master of this household? Amen. That's why we don't do altar calls in the beginning. We do them at the end. But the leading of the Spirit told me to do one now. Told me to bring flowers. Little things that are going to make this message today. Thoughts from the Lord. Says, you too must keep watch, for you don't know when the master of the household will return. These are a few guesses when he might return. He might return in the evening. Right when you get back from work and you're doing nothing, you're just laying out watching TV. He might come in the evening, the Bible says. He might come at midnight. Before dawn. Or at daybreak. Bible goes on to say, don't let him find you sleeping. When he arise without warning. I'm giving you a warning right now. How to be ready when the Lord comes back for you and I. Even though we don't know when it is, Scripture goes on to say that not even Jesus knows the time of his return. It's a revelation of the Father and the Father alone. In verse 35, it says, to watch for the Lord, to be watchful for the Lord. You don't know when the master of the household will return. To me here, to watch for the Lord don't literally mean to see him, to be looking for him. We don't have to look for him this morning. He's here. He's here. So it don't mean literally watching out with your eyes for him. In verse 36, the Bible says, don't let him find you sleeping. This sleeping here don't literally mean, which some of you will be doing in a little bit right now, because you're not taking heed to the warning that is from the Lord. You think pastor's just getting spiritual this morning. Don't let him, in other words, that don't mean physical sleeping either. But to be on watch and not to be sleeping, to me, it means being in position. And being in position means being committed. The Lord is looking for some committed soldiers here this day. Are you one? Verse 35, I already read, tells us that we don't know when he will return. But because times are getting more evil, more darker, if I had a guess, because this is a guess, if I had a guess when the Lord's going to return, whether it's in the evening, one, midnight, two, before dawn, three, or at daybreak, four, if I had to pick when he's going to return, I would say he's going to return at midnight. That's my guess. Pastor, why is that your guess? I'm going to let you know why. Because I just told you times are getting more evil, more wicked, and more darker. There's going to come a time where there's not going to be no daybreak, no even. It's just going to be dark. Even though your watch may say 7 a.m., it's going to feel like it's midnight. Times are going to get dark and evil. And some of you will no longer be here in this church. You will be caught up in that darkness. The Bible says that few will make it and find that narrow road. Pastor, can you loosen up a little bit? I'm loose, baby. I'm loose. I'm preaching the gospel. I believe the coming of the Lord is going to be at midnight. That's Deborah's mom. She has Alzheimer's. She has a reason to be talking. That's her amen. So I need everybody to stay focused. If she goes there, you just stay focused. Amen? And she has 100% can stay in this sanctuary. Leave her alone, ushers. God can communicate to her. Present, the Holy Spirit's able to do anything and everything. It's not about her language. It's all about his word, his language. And I know though she might have Alzheimer's, she can still hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church today. We're living in very hard times, and they're going to get harder. Take advantage of the good times right now. Prepare yourself for the coming of the Lord. For when He comes, times are going to be very, very dark. In verse 34, the Bible says, the coming of the Son of Man can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. When he left home, he gave each of his slaves instructions about the work they were to do. And he told the gatekeeper, the gatekeeper was to watch. This is what the Lord gave me this morning. The gatekeeper was to watch for the coming of the Lord. I believe the gatekeeper of today is prayer. Prayer is the gatekeeper. Prayer is able to keep watch in what the Lord has not only done already, but prayer allows a man, a woman, to keep watch in what the Lord is about to do. I believe the gatekeeper is prayer. You don't have to worry about the day of His return. It's because that day is not even promised. We need to worry about what the Lord is doing today. What He's doing today, it needs to matter. It needs to shake you up. It needs to become more important than your marriage, your children, your job. Jesus needs to be put first today. In Ephesians 5, verses 15 through 17, the Bible says, so be careful how you live. I've seen some foolish Christians do foolish stuff. I mean foolish stuff. They've been saved for years doing foolish stuff. Pastor, you mad? No, I'm preaching the truth. Have you ever seen a Christian do some foolish stuff? I ain't making it up. The Bible says, so be careful how you live. It's not how you conduct yourself in the service of Sunday, but how are you living at your house? What's taking place in your bedroom? What's taking place in your living room? What's taking place in your backyard? How you been living? So be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. There's got to come a time and a place that we learn from our mistakes to become wise. Let your mistakes make you wise. And you notice how the word fools, go back, has an S at the end. There's more than one fool Christian. I've seen all kinds of them. So don't think I'm talking about you. I'm talking more than yous here this day. Making some bad decisions. The Bible says, so be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Take up the full opportunity, because we're still having good times right now. The guys don't know it in the rehab, but I'm taking them out today. We're going to go do something today. Taking all the guys to rehab, I'm taking them somewhere, man. Just get in the van, man. We're going to go have a good time. We're going to have a good time. I'm going to take those that deserve it and those that don't deserve it. God's grace. That's why we need to take advantage of every opportunity of being committed right now. You got to take advantage of being committed while we have the chance. While it's still daybreak. While it's still the evening. Before the dawn. Because the Bible says that night is sure to come. Work while it is still day, because night is sure to come, which illustrates the coming of the Lord. Where it's going to be too late to go to work for the Lord and do what He has called each and every one of us to do. I truly believe, as times get more evil, that only the committed are going to stand for Jesus. Somebody's ruffling paper. Stop it. Amen. Somebody's. If you're having hard times making it right now, the good news is the title of the message, The Committed Prepare Themselves. Prepare yourself. Make a plan for your life in following Jesus. Start making changes today in your life. While it is still day, while you're able still to smile a little bit, a fake smile at least, there's going to be time where you're not even going to be able to fake it. Times are going to get hard. And they're right around the corner. The work of the enemy is to remove Jesus from our lives. To remove Jesus from our lives will always be the target of the enemy. Right. To remove Jesus from our lives will always be the target of the enemy. Question, what is the enemy currently using right now to remove Jesus from your life? What is it? Some of you might, I got some things here, addiction, the opposite sex, money, work. Can be keeping you from answering the call that God has given you. It's going to come a time for all your money ain't going to be able to do nothing for you. You're going to look back and say, darn it. I should have listened to my pastor. It's coming a time where those that have money right now are going to open up their pockets one day and there ain't going to be nothing in them. The Bible says your pockets are going to have holes in them. Though you're making the money, it's like there's nothing to show forth. Because you ain't living accordingly to the ways of the Lord. But the enemy will also use good things. Not just addiction, the opposite sex. The enemy will also use good things to remove Jesus from your life. He wants to remove the gatekeeper, which is prayer. The enemy will use no prayer. The enemy will use something that is of the Lord, a communication between us and the Lord. He's targeting your prayer life. Because he knows if he can get the prayer out, he's got you. Because the Bible says in John, apart from me, you can do nothing. So, the Lord is warning everybody here this day. Oh, it's just, you know, at Victory Outreach Church, the Spirit of the Lord ain't moving. And, you know, as the pastor can only take me so far. And, you know, I can't grow there. And stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it, hombre. Hijuela, you don't even believe that one. Say it long enough and you'll start to believe it. You go to another church that's the cool church. Nothing is asked of you. Give if you want. Rallies. What's a rally? Won't even know what a rally is. Streets. What street? Streets. What's that? Men's home. What's a men's home? The enemy will use good things. Like God's word. And some of you know this word so much where you don't think you got to be committed. Woo, you're so good. You're so good. Guess who else knows this word so good? Satan himself. Some of you think you know the word good enough. You're good. I got God's word in my heart, Pastor. How about in your feet? How about in your hands? How about in your mouth? It's in my heart. It's in my heart. The Bible in the book of chapter and verses 1-3, the Bible says this. Put the living word in your heart to meditate on it day and night. The enemy who used good things to take people out, to take the Jesus from your life. He'll also use not coming to church. Church is a good thing. Tell your neighbor, church is a good thing. She looked at me like this, and he looked at me like this, and the pastor was in the flesh today. Apostle Paul says, become all things unto all men, to maybe win some. Baby, I'll get in the flesh for you to help you out, to get you where you need to get. I'll go toe-to-toe with anybody up in here. If it means winning you over to Jesus, I'll talk your language. Pastor, just don't understand me. I'll talk your language of non-understanding. To possibly, the Bible says, win a few of you over. You'll use no church. Come in when you have a chance. And this is about the committed fellowship. You rather fellowship with people in the world because there's no pressure. When you fellowship with people from the world, you can act how you want. You can put whatever radio station you want in your car when you're cruising with the people from the world. But take me for a cruise, and I want to see what you're going to be bumping in your ride. No fellowship. I always say get with someone that knows more than you. That's the way you're going to grow. That's going to strain you up a little bit, make you a little weird, make you feel uncomfortable. But it's going to allow you to grow. You need fellowship in the church. Another one that the enemy uses is a good thing that the majority here don't do, and that's tithing. You don't give. And if you're giving, when anything goes wrong, you stop giving. That means your God is your money. And that means you'll always be short. Some of you haven't tithed since I don't know when. Ah, but you'll tighten the bar. You'll for making a little stiff drink a little stiffer. Bah, vamanos. Oh, you'll tithe. The waiter today when you go eat somewhere because you want to look like a heavy duty. You want to look heavy. You want to look like you're holding. They're not asking for 10% no more tip. It's gone to 15%, 20%. Look at the people are crazy. I can't even get 10 at the church for Jesus in one's life. But they'll pay 20% tip on a taco. Because you want to look good in front of a table beside your table that you don't even know who they are. They all got coronas at their table and you want to look heavy. You want to be Scarface looking. I told you the message went like that. You can possibly give without loving, but you can't love without giving. Ooh-wee. Man, the world might have gave you a front here and there, man, but you had to come with it. My tip in the world was my mom, my dad, my brothers, my sister. I gave all that up. That was the tip for giving my life to the devil. Nobody wanted me no more. We're a worldwide international ministry. We're all over the world. We need some United We Can members in the church. You should be wearing a pin. Some of you men will watch TV at midnight. You're going through it and that TV crazy preaching channel comes on and you'll pay $100 for a little bit of holy water that they're promising. Your marriage is going to get good. Your son's going to get healed. Some of you have paid hundreds for a handkerchief that the bishop anointed with this water. You're so desperate that you're willing to say, get the address real quick, get the address. Where's my credit card? You want some water? I got some water right now for you. There's people right now that are so desperate, they'll go for anything on the TV. It amazes me when I go to this gas station and I wait in line. The majority that every youth that goes up there is buying those wrappers to roll a joint for the blunts. Give me a strawberry, give me a banana. I'm like, back in my days, I smoked joints. Blunt was never around in my days. We smoked fat joints. Toque roll, man. Hit it and pass it, baby. Almost all the youth that go in that gas station, and they're all, give me banana, give me strawberry flavor, give me grape. I'm like, I think they're at a fruit store at Pick and Save or something. Right. You're going to like this one. I was there yesterday doing a little transaction. I locked my keys in my van, so my guys had to go back to get another key for my van, so I'm in the parking lot at Saturday night. I saw so many deals go down when the guys were looking like this and doing all this stuff, and I'm, hey, I know what's up. And I'm like this, but I'm checking them out. Wearing regular sweats, a regular t-shirt, looking just like another guy. This is what a black brother was doing. I know I'm talking about the black people, so what? This is what a black brother did. We're black, brown, and white here today, baby. And we all need Jesus. I'm just keeping the story true and real, so I gotta say, it was a black brother. He was, and he walked. The guys were just about to leave. And he was like Pepe Le Pew. I picked up what he was doing. And when that wind came my way and I smelt that stuff, I said, oh boy, holding some green stuff. He crosses the street by Talking Bell and just posts up there, right? As the aroma comes through the whole gas station of all these young people there. And he got a few bites. I seen it. He would take a few hits and turn it off. Cross the street and post. He kept looking at me because I looked like a client, a possible client. And I felt like saying, you better move around with that stuff. And I'm waiting for the guys. And he makes his run again. And I bet money. I says, Lord, I know he's going to spark that up and take a couple hits again. He waited for the pumps to get full. Walked by. Just like when we do the hot dog sales at Pick and Save, we allow the aroma of the hot dog to make them come in. He crosses the street and posts up, and the aroma of that green stuff just sweeps through the gas station. And everybody's like, man, who's got that? And he's there. I said, wow, I never used that hustle. I just go up, yeah, you want some dope? You want to buy some dope? I didn't care. I was a dope fiend. Wow. Was it green? It was green, baby. And I seen guys bite and go for it. I'm in the store because it's kind of cool. My jacket got locked in the van also. So I'm in the store. The guy behind the counter knows me. We should just open our own store. We spend millions at that gas station. And I'm there, and a good-looking, what color was he? You guessed it. How did you know? A good-looking young black brother, probably 25 years old. Comes in, I have a few grapes and bananas and strawberries, and I'm just there saying, wow. And then he tells the guy behind the window, you remember me, right? And he's, you know, they're from India, so don't know. You remember me? He goes, no. He goes, oh, you're the football player. He goes, yeah, I'm the football player. He says, why are you smoking that stuff then? Dude had big old shoulders. He's a good-looking brother, man. He goes, why you smoke this then? If you the good football player. He says, man, word for word is what he said. I'm there just posted up, getting a message. And a gas station on a Saturday night. He says, man, this is what has kept me up to this day. It keeps me chilled. Man, I'm ready to fight. By this time, I'm ready to fight. I'm ready to punch somebody, amen? I'm ready to see some blood. I've never heard so much hog wash in my life. So I'm at the door, right? I said, Jesus, let it go, or do I say so? He says, say something. I said, okay, you gave me permission. I said, check this out, homeboy. He's walking out, right? And I said, you mean turn you on to who can really chill you out? Okay. Jesus is the only one that can chill you out. You need to take a hit of some Jesus and leave that banana, grape, strawberry stuff alone. Yeah, I know he went thinking. He was thinking hard. He didn't know how to play it off. Just like when that girl says, you're looking like $1 million awfully good. Uh-huh. You know it, mama. You know it. Tell it. The enemy will use good things to get you stuck. Scripture says, become all things unto all men. That's what I'm doing right now. John 15. I got this one, Grandma. John 15, verse 4 and 8 says, remain in me and I will remain in you. Amen? Receiving Jesus by faith allows Jesus to come into your life. But being committed keeps Jesus in your life. A prayer at the altar allows you to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. But to keep Jesus, you're going to have to get committed, because the target of the enemy is to remove Jesus from your life. That's his target. And he's... That boy was working the wind and everything. And the ducks in the gas cart. He turns it off. Remain in me and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed. Severed means cut off from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine, Jesus speaking. And you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Jesus knows that, and the enemy knows that. The target of the enemy is to remove Jesus from your life. How does he remove Jesus from your life? By countering the truth with a lie. God's speaking right now. There ain't no notes right here, baby. Oh, back to the flowers. It takes faith to receive Jesus. It costs you nothing but a messed up life to receive Jesus. That's all it takes to receive Jesus, is a messed up life that nobody wants to work with no more. That's all it takes to receive Jesus. But to keep him and to abide in him is going to take commitment. I had to clip away a lot of dead leaves, because the moms, even though they're the last one they use, is even going out of season right now. It's going out of season right now. So I spruced it up a little bit. I even gave it some water. Bam! Let me blow a little bit of Jesus your way. Let me see if it's centered. It's centered. Okay. All right. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Don't move the scriptures. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. When I got this bush, I cleaned it up. That's what the Lord does. He cleans. But this is withered, ushers. You're going to, off this same bush that is in flower that looks beautiful right now, when I got it, because there were the only ones left that were so smushed, a lot of the branches were broken. Pass it around. They were severed. Pass it around. Pass it around. Like tuck and roll, pass it around. She's looking at me, pass it around. So I want you to look at, that's the same branch from this same bush. Just look at it. It's got little buds in there that were supposed to become a flower. So just look at the little buds. It was so funny because I was pruning up the bush in my office and I had all these branches on my desk. And my usher, Chava, because they were all shriveled up and no good, he grabbed them all like that and was going to throw them in the trash. I said, what are you doing? That's the message. So he walks into my office while I was preparing the message. And I had five of these on my desk. Chava walks in my office before a sermon. He grabs them because they look like trash. He was about to throw, that's my message. What are you doing with those? Can't you see what I'm doing? Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. Chava naturally was taking them to throw them in the trash. This is what you throw away. You may say, well, Pastor, it's trick photography. How do we know these branches that we are observing today are from that bush? You don't. You're going to have to trust me, but just for you doubters, I just severed, cut from the vine two branches. And they look just like the other ones, and I'm going to tuck them away. Amen. They look like they're doing good. I'm just going to do a little flower decorating, and I just, No problem. They're looking good. For right now. Can't even tell that they've been severed, cut off the mum vine. But the target of the enemy is to cut you off the Jesus vine. The Bible says that he is the vine and we are the branches. I'm going to leave this flower thing here all week. Next week, if you return, they're not going to be looking so cheerful because they've been severed, cut off of the vine that was nourishing them. But if you remain in me, there's a but. But if you remain in me, my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want, and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great joy to my Father. All right. These flowers have a season, and even though they last the longest, and if you go to Menards, if you think I'm lying, go to Menards and you'll find a table in all the garden area. There's not a bush out there right now because we're going into another season called winter where they can't survive. They're only able to bloom at certain seasons, and they're coming to the end of their season. You'll find a table. And you know what else is different? When we don't do what God has called us, our worth becomes worthless. These moms go for about 10, 14 bucks when they first come out. I got them for $2.60 because of their condition and the season they're in. You can't get a big pot like this for $2.64. But because of the season and their condition, there I was at the checkout with a pot of flowers, and I'm looking at them and I'm putting the message together. Wearing a suit in Menards. But you and I are able to produce in and out of season. You and I are able to produce even in hard seasons. Why would the Lord allow times to get harder and darker and might come at midnight when we have no fruit, that there's no way we can produce? Last scripture. The Bible reads in Psalms chapter 1, 1 through 3, oh, the joy of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked or stand around with sinners or join in with mockers. But they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. Verse 3, baby, give it to me. They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither. Ow! I like that. And they prosper in all they do. Why? Because the Lord takes joy in those that are committed, even in the hard times, committed, even in the darkened times. He said, I'm going to bless that woman. I'm going to bless that man. They're doing what I've called them to do, even when it ain't fair. The mama has a season, and it's getting very close to coming to an end. But you and I, we are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Ooh-wee. I'm here to let you know right now that you can bear some fruit in your situation. Not because I said, but because the living word of God that is alive and active is saying it this day. He wants to put some fruit in you when you shouldn't be having any. He wants to hook you up even in your bad season for all to see. She's going through that and bearing fruit? What? He's going through that and still in the church? I would have left long time ago. Bearing fruit even in the dark times, hard times. Because my guess is Jesus is coming back at the midnight hour. Not for the tweaker, because he's going to be up at midnight. But for the church he's coming back for. You and I have the capacity to bear fruit in every season that we go through. But there are seasons that are shutting people down. It is not biblical by the preaching of today's word. It is not biblical. Those branches that you observed came off the same bush that is in full bloom. But they were in there, but they had been broken off. They had been severed from the vine. And that's why you've seen them withered. And the little buds that should have became flowers, no more. When I looked up the word severed, just in my phone, it also said broken off. There's one thing about getting broken off when we were in the world, but getting broken off in Christ, it's not biblical. What do you want, this or that? It's kind of too hard to speak your marriage in to life and existence when you're like this. It's hard to guide children when you're like this. Money is not going to fix a marriage or children. But Jesus, their leaves never wither and they prosper in all they do. In other words, they continue to prosper no matter what they're going through. This is what happens when we allow our lives to be a target. The target of the enemy is to remove Jesus from your life and for my life. I go through it every day. I go through it. I go, no. I ain't gonna let the enemy. Men's home, here it comes, man. I'm gonna take a big hit right now. I want you to observe. All the flowers, instead of looking up at the sun, they're. That was all of us right here. Yeah, all guys have the opportunity right now to use your situation for greatness, to allow God's word to come to pass. So when we go to the streets, we're not trying to evangelize looking like this. Hey, man, go to church, man. Why don't you want to come to church? Hey, what are you doing tonight? You want to go to the movies? It's kind of hard to win people over when you're looking like this and trying to play it off like you're really looking like that. That's what God wants. But this is what's wrong with the church today. They've been broken off the true vine, and Jesus can't nourish the branches. He's given us the opportunity to be the branches that bear the fruit. And even though he chose the vine, he's the source. Amen. And too many times we get more focused on the fruit than we do on the vine that is the source and the foundation of the bearing of the fruit. Can have money in the bank, wearing a fancy pair of shoes on, the best perfume on right now. And inside, you're withered up. This pot was going to die in the next day or two because it weighed not even a gram. It was like there's no water in there. But I poured a whole bottle of some of my Dasani water. We need living waters in our life. We need the bread of life in our life. Bread of life. Life more abundantly. See, it's one thing to know the word. It's another thing bringing the word to pass within your life or somebody else's life. Worship team, let's do this. It's time to pour some water. It's time to do some pruning. Oh, and if you're doing great, the Bible says that the gardener will prune you so you can bear more fruit. Being a committed Christian ain't easy. You gotta want it.